episode 52 of the Burning Bush podcast, where we share the message of the Bible while enjoying a good cigar. Glad you could stop by this week, and I hope everybody's doing well. This week, I am smoking the Perla del Mar Maduro by J.C. Newman. So let me go ahead and go to the website and let you know what the Perla del Mar is all about. Perla del Mar is a historic cigar brand that traces its roots to Cuba. In 1905, four Cuban brothers started hand-rolling cigars using tobacco grown on their family's farm in Cuba. They named their company Perfecto Garcia Brothers and called their cigars Perla del Mar because of the beautiful Caribbean waters that surround Cuba. As the popularity and demand for their cigars grew, the brothers built a large cigar factory next to J.C. Newman's El Reloj factory in Ybor City, Florida. Perla del Mar was one of the leading premium cigar brands in the early 1900s. J.C. Newman's new Perla del Mar cigar honors the brand's historic legacy. Perla del Mar features special, hand-selected, aged binder and long filler tobaccos from four distinct regions in the lush mountains of Nicaragua: Pueblo Nuevo, La Arena, Condega, and Jalapa. This unique blend is combined with a smooth, creamy Ecuadorian shade, Connecticut Broadleaf Maduro, or robust Ecuadorian Corojo wrapper to provide a complex but balanced taste. Lastly, Perla del Mar cigars feature a Tampa-style press to help the natural flavors of its unique tobaccos to marry together and deliver an extremely satisfying smoke. Using the same unique blend as Perla del Mar Classic, wrapped in a genuine Connecticut broadleaf wrapper, Perla del Mar Maduro offers a robust, dark chocolate twist on the creamy and smooth original. And the wrapper, like I said, is Connecticut broadleaf Maduro, binder and filler, both Nicaraguan. And the tolas are Toro, 6 1/4 by 54, Double Toro, 6 by 60, Corona Gorda, 5 1/2 by 46, and the Robusto, 4 3/4 by 52. And it was rated a 90 by Cigar Aficionado, 91 by Cigar and Spirits Magazine, a 90 by Cigar Insider, and a 91 by Cigar Snob. So this is a really good cigar. Matter of fact, I just bought a box without ever trying them because I heard how great they were. So I just jumped in with both feet, bought a box, and so glad I did. These things are really, really tasty cigars. And I love the Tampa press. It's really cool. So it's more of a rectangular shape than a square press. So I guess back in the day, all the cigars coming out of Tampa had the Tampa press. So check out the J.C. Newman Perla del Mar Maduro. I don't think you'll be disappointed if you're a Maduro fan. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump back into chapter 2 of Dr. Justin Bass's book, The Bedrock of Christianity. This week's section is entitled Archimedean Points of History. Below you will find a timeline of the life of Paul and his movements during the first two decades of Christianity. I have based the timeline on a few points where events in Paul's life mentioned in Scripture line up with events mentioned in other ancient sources. I call these Archimedean Points of History, after the ancient Greek mathematician Archimedes, who famously said, "Give me a place to stand, and with a lever I will move the whole world." I conclude the timeline with Paul standing before the proconsul Gallio in Corinth, recorded in Acts 18:12-17, because this is one of those Archimedean points of history. At the end of the 19th century, an inscription from the Roman Emperor Claudius was discovered at the Temple of Apollo in Delphi, Greece. It was published in 1905. In the inscription, Claudius mentions Gallio as proconsul. This enables historians to accurately date Gallio as proconsul of Achaia from July 51 to July 52. This is a bedrock fact in Paul's chronology. We only need to work backward from here. According to Acts, Paul had been in Corinth for around 18 months by the time he stood before Gallio, Acts 18:11. We then know Paul arrived in Corinth in either 49 or 50. In fact, another Archimedean point helps us further here. When Paul arrived in Corinth, Acts 18:2 says, Paul found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. Emperor Claudius expelled the Jews from Rome in AD 49, according to the Roman historian Suetonius, because the Jews at Rome caused continuous disturbances at the instigation of Crestus, he expelled them from the city. Suetonius, Claudius 25. Paul then must have arrived at Corinth in AD 49. We can then put the beginning of Paul's second missionary journey, Acts 15:36 through 18:22, toward the beginning of 49, and the Apostolic Council in Jerusalem, Acts 15:1 through 35, in the latter half of 48. Paul may have written his letter to the Galatians early in 48 after his first missionary journey, 47 to 48. Moreover, Paul's second visit to Jerusalem in 46 or early 47, Acts 11:27 through 30 and Galatians 2:1 through 10, to aid in the famine corresponds to when Josephus says this famine occurred. It was in the administration of Tiberius Alexander that the great famine occurred in Judea, during which Queen Helena bought grain from Egypt for large sums and distributed it to the needy. Jewish Antiquities 20.101. In addition, Tiberius Alexander, the philosopher Philo of Alexandria's nephew, served as governor of Judea from AD 46 to 48. Jewish Antiquities 20.101 through 104. This all seems to fit quite well and enables us to create a timeline of dates related to the life of Paul and the early Christian movement. Six to four BC, John the Baptist is born and Jesus is born. Four BC, King Herod dies. AD 9 through 12, Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, is born. August 19th, AD 14, Augustus Caesar dies. Tiberius Caesar, AD 14 to 37, becomes Emperor of Rome. 18, the high priesthood of Joseph, AD 18 to 36, called Caiaphas, begins. 26, Pontius Pilate, AD 26 to 36, becomes governor and the fifth procurator of Judea. 26 through 28, John the Baptist begins his ministry, preaching and baptizing in the Jordan River. 27 to 30, Jesus is baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. Jesus' public ministry begins in Galilee and lasts 3 to 4 years. 28 to 32, John the Baptist is arrested, imprisoned in the castle Machaerus, and soon after put to death by the orders of Herod Antipas. 30 or 33, Jesus is crucified under the procurator Pontius Pilate in the reign of Tiberius Caesar. Soon after, his followers Peter, the 12, and others claim he has appeared to them alive, raised from the dead. 31 or 34, the Pharisee Paul begins persecuting followers of Jesus and attempts to destroy the movement. Galatians 1:13, and 2 through 24, 1 Corinthians 15, 9 through 10, and Philippians 3, 6. Paul becomes convinced that the crucified man Jesus appeared to him alive, raised from the dead, near Damascus, Galatians 1, 15 through 16, and 1 Corinthians 9, 1 to 2, and 15, 8. Paul immediately goes into Arabia for an unspecified period of time, Galatians 1, 17. Chapter 34 or 37, Paul returns to Damascus and remains there for 3 years, Galatians 1:18 and 2 Corinthians 11:32 and 33. Paul receives creedal traditions, 1 Corinthians 11:2 and 23 through 26 and 15:3 through 7, and hymns, Galatians 1:4 to 5, 1 Corinthians 8:6, 2 Corinthians 8:9, Romans 1:3 to 4, 4:25, 6:3 through 4, and 8:34. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 and 4:14, and Philippians 2:6 through 11, about Jesus during this time. 36. A rebel Samaritan's revolt and Pilate's massacre of his followers leads to his removal as governor of Judea. 36. Joseph Caiaphas is removed as high priest in Jerusalem. 37. Josephus is born. March 16, 37, Tiberius dies. Caligula, AD 37 to 41, becomes emperor of Rome. 37. Paul, for the first time, goes to Jerusalem, spends 15 days with Peter, Galatians 1:18, and sees James, the Lord's brother, Galatians 1:19. Paul receives creedal traditions, 1 Corinthians 11:2 and 23 through 26, and 15:3 through 7, and hymns, Galatians 1:4 to 5, 1 Corinthians 8:6, 2 Corinthians 8:9, Romans 1:3 through 4, 4:25, 6:3 through 4, and 8:34. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 and 4:14, Philippians 2:6 through 11, about Jesus during this time. Chapter 37 through 45, Paul spends time in the regions of Syria, Caesarea, and Cilicia, Tarsus, Galatians 1:21, known as the Silent Years. 42, the Apostle James, the son of Zebedee, is martyred by Herod Agrippa, Acts 12:2. 44 to 46, Barnabas recruits Paul to work with him in Antioch, Acts 11:25 to 26. 46 to 47, Paul goes to Jerusalem a second time, Galatians 2:1 through 10, Acts 11:27 to 30, and with Barnabas meets with the pillars, Peter, James, John, and possibly others of the 12. He then returns to Antioch, Acts 12:25. 47 to 48, Paul goes on his first missionary journey, lasting possibly around 18 months, and returns to Antioch, Acts 13:4 through 14:26. 48, Paul writes Galatians from Antioch. Apostolic council is held in Jerusalem, Acts 15. Paul and Barnabas return to Antioch, Acts 15:30 to 33. 49 to 52, after a dispute between Paul and Barnabas, they part ways, and Paul begins his second missionary journey with Silas, Acts 15:36 through 18:22. Paul and Silas travel to southern Galatia through Asia Minor, on to Macedonia to Philippi, Acts 16:9 through 40, and 1 Thessalonians 2:2. Thessalonica, Acts 17:1 through 9, 1 Thessalonians 2:2, and Philippians 4:15 through 16. Berea, Acts 17:10-15, then to Athens, Acts 17:16-31, and 1 Thessalonians 3:1, and to Corinth, Acts 18:1-18. When Paul plants the church in Corinth, he delivers to them creedal traditions, 1 Corinthians 11:2, 23-26, and 15:3-7, and a hymn, 1 Corinthians 8:6, he received before this either in Damascus or Jerusalem. 51 or 52, Paul stands before Gallio's judgment seat in Corinth, Acts 18:12-17. Gallio, the Stoic philosopher, Seneca's brother, serves as proconsul of Achaia from July 51 to July 52. Tacitus, Annals, 15.73 and 16.17. In order to time travel and follow in Paul's footsteps in the year before 46 or 47, we must again consult our most detailed chronology of Paul's movements from his own pen, his autobiography in the first two chapters of Galatians. In the rest of this chapter, I will show you how we can know the bedrock facts concerning the timeline of Paul's earlier life. And that will be the end of this week's reading of The Bedrock of Christianity by Dr. Justin Bass. Hope you'll check out the links in the show notes to this week's cigar, to Dr. Bass's website where you can pick up copies of his books, which I suggest you do if this at all interests you, and to groundworksministries.com as well for daily Bible studies and devotionals, and of course the Burning Bush Podcast merchandise store where you can pick up some things to help spread the word about the show, and hopefully you will tell your friends. So once again, glad you could stop by this week. Hope you got something out of it, and I hope you'll be back next week. Until then, have a great day, have a great cigar, and God bless.